Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello, sausage.
Hello, hello, gorgeous girly.
Hair's looking lovely.
I just been to the salon.
Wait, did I tell you how different it is going to the hairdresser in America versus the UK?
No, what is it more?
It's crazy. So like when I, when I go to my hairdresser, my amazing Hakko hair salon in Shoreditch, shout out to them, they are incredible. It's this Japanese hair salon, and they're the first place that's ever made my wispy thin hair look voluminous, and it's the reason my hair can be as long as it is now, because they cut it in this insane way where they add all these layers, which adds volume and texture without making your hair look thin. They're fucking geniuses. But I used to travel there for like an hour on the tube just to get there, and then she would literally cut my hair within 30 minutes and then ship me out the door.
Send you on your way.
Yeah, so I booked a hair cut in LA on when I was on a deadline, of course, because I'll do anything to not work. And I genuinely thought it was going to be, I was going to be out for like an hour. Got there, paid for parking for an hour and sat in that chair for like 2.5 hours. The woman gave me the longest consultation, asked me about anything. Because it's like they want the tips, but also they're just so much better at customer service in America. Mm-hmm. So she like sat me down, talked me through all this stuff, cut my hair so slowly. And part of me is like, this feels really nice because it feels special and luxurious. And the other part of me was like, I need to get the fuck out of here. Get me back to the Japanese hair salon.
I can't decide. I think I maybe prefer the in and out situation.
Yeah. I mean, it felt nice because she was obviously like taking her time, and she really blow dried my hair really nicely. And I think if you were going for a special occasion or you wanted to feel gorgeous, it's nice.
I love, the only thing I want them to take time doing is massaging my head when shampoo my hair.
I know.
And I was just thinking today that if I was a billionaire, the two things that I would really invest in that would be like so luxurious would be, I would get my hair done at a salon pretty much every day, like just washed and blow dried for me.
But you would get them to come to your house, obviously.
Well, I was thinking that like Anna Wintour apparently does, but I don't like having to go into my own shower. I've done that before to wash it out.
But I guess if you're a billionaire and you wanted this,
I have a basin.
Yeah. Yeah. You wanted this special thing to happen every day. You would have your own hair salon.
I'm a billionaire and I'm going to keep living in this little apartment where I'll have to go wash my hair in this horrible shower. Yeah, that's true. I don't know if I want a basin at home. I feel like I wouldn't mind going to the salon every day.
Yeah, because you'd also have a driver.
And the second one is a driver.
I would have a gym with a Pilates machine and an instructor that comes to my house.
And an instructor that lives there.
Katie who lives in a cage in my gym. And I let her out to do one-on-one Pilates with me. Then I would want a chef.
A chef would be great. I think I would want a sauna as well. I'm in a bit of a sauna state of mind at the moment.
Are you using the saunas at Soho House?
I've only done it like maybe two or three times, but spiritually I feel like I'm doing it every day.
This is the funniest thing. The funniest thing about this is that I got a Soho House membership because I lived close to the gym, and no shit, the White City Soho House gym is the best gym I've ever been to.
Yeah.
And what's really funny is Soho House feels really naff and embarrassing to be a member of, because it's like obviously this exclusive club and don't know, it just feels a bit wanky. But then since I've been in America, I've been like exploring all these other options, because the only gym they have here, which is so fucked up, and I want to complain to management, is the new downtown Soho House, which is really nice. It's like three levels, nice gym, nowhere near as nice as White City, even though they have such a huge warehouse space. And then a pool, rooftop pool, really lovely, whatever. They have no gyms in any of the other spaces. Downtown's quite a drive away. Have been exploring all these other options, whether to get an Equinox membership, even though they're naughty Trump supporters. I did a little trial and was like, I can forget about that. No, went to Heimat, which is this new like members only crazy gym.
Yes, I've heard of Heimat.
Which has a really insane gym, which beats Soho House, but a really bad vibe, and just you wouldn't want to hang out there. The whole thing is like, it's a members space where you would hang out to. And I've just come around and decided that Soho House is really the best value for money here. But the funny thing about it is I have to go to the gym like two times a week, or I feel robbed. And my good friend Grace O'Neill loves to never use those free facilities she's paying for.
Never. Like, the cost per use will be extortionate. Mm-hmm. And I just forget it exists for so long, and I'm not building a routine. And then I went yesterday and I was so excited because I went and did my like little chuggy TikTok 3:30, 12, mm-hmm. whatever
12,
it's called.
3:30.
12, 3:30. And then was like, I'm going to go have a little sauna and have a swim. And then I remembered I'd fake tanned that morning, so I just had to go home.
Aw, jade.
I know, it was a bit jade and sad, but I will go back.
I hate a sauna.
I used to hate the sauna, and I've come round to it, but I feel more empowered to say I'm ready to leave now. Because mm-hmm. before I would just wait, and then I'd feel sick, and then I'd feel sick for the rest of the day because I felt like a pussy because I always wanted to be the first to leave. And I'm like, I just have a sensitive constitution. And sometimes yes. I just need to pop out. And I think that's
every time
okay.
I go into the steam room, I always go, oh my God, I'm going to faint. It's so hot. And then my boyfriend's like, you can't say that out loud in here. Like, it stresses people out. Everyone's trying to relax. And you're like standing in there going, this is too hot. I'm going to faint. I'm going to die.
I find the steam rooms kind of gross.
You know, so I love the steam room because it feels like it's clearing out my pores and clearing out my skin. It feels like it's actually doing something. Saunas, I'm just like, I'm sitting in a hot room, fucking bored. All these tech bros around me talking about their apps.
Yeah, that's true. I like being cooked from the inside out. But I think you have to be at the sauna with a friend is the only thing. Because you can't have a phone. It feels weird to have a phone.
You can take a book in, but you don't want to take a nice book in.
Yeah. When people are reading in there, I'm kind of like,
I've done that.
I don't know why. I just think I am not in a state of mind to concentrate, maybe.
But then it also feels a bit weird when you're talking in there.
Yeah, you got to whisper.
You got to whisper.
Saunas are like baths, as we've said many times. Better in theory. Complicated in practice.
I told you that I went to Wii Spa, right?
No. Can you tell me that this whole episode is just going to be you telling me? special things.
Special stories. So Weespa is, for anyone who doesn't know, it's in Koreatown. So East LA is just fucking cool. There's like Little Tokyo, there's Thai Town, there's Chinatown, there's Koreatown. And in Koreatown is Weespa, which is this huge, like, four-story spa. It's massive. It's such a big operation. You come in and there's like seven different people parking all the valets and you have no idea where your car goes. And then you go in and they have a women's level and then a man's level and then a co-ed level on the top. And in the single-sex areas, it's you have to be naked. And then on the co-ed floor, the only thing you're allowed to wear is this little uniform they provide you, which is these little shorts and a t-shirt. It feels like you're in prison, but in a nice way. Or it feels like the start of
prison experiment.
Feels like the start of, yeah, it's just, it's so funny. So you go in and on the women's only floor, there's like basically little areas where you can wash yourself with hoses and stuff. And then there's spa baths. And so you all get in and you lounge about and it feels really nice and special. And I went there with my boyfriend, so he had to go to the men's one. He was like so sad about it because he was like, oh, I don't want to see all these like willies. And he was like, I want to come to the girls one. He's like, I know it will feel so nice and special and the man's one will feel like depraved. And then we met up on the co-ed one and there's saunas you can go in and lie down, and there's this relaxing area with all these beanbags where people are just lying around sleeping, and then there's a little canteen where you can eat amazing Korean food. It's so nice. That's
incredible. Do you feel intimidated when you go in for the first time, like you don't know where to go or what to do, or is it very welcoming? You can go whatever, choose your own adventure. Is it any?
It feels. I more felt embarrassed of myself that I felt embarrassed to go to be naked, or I felt funny being naked, and I was just like, "What is wrong with you?" But it feels kind of confronting, even though it's women only. But then everyone else is so relaxed and chill about it that you kind of ease into it. But I guess I was by myself. But then at the same time, I was like, I don't know if I'd want to be with like you.
A friend. No, I don't want to be naked with you. I was just thinking that. I don't want to be naked with anyone. I'm like quite prudish about that. Like at the Soho House gym, more than any other gym I've been to, the gals are like very liberal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're striding about a lot and I really admire it.
Yeah. Everyone's butt naked in there.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel more comfortable. Maybe this is something we need to work through at the spa.
we'll go to the spa naked together as our therapy session. I've seen you naked. I'm sure you've seen me naked.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm having bad memories of when you saw me naked.
I had to wash Grace down in a shower when she was drunk.
And I was like, I don't want to talk about it.
Story for another time. Okay, we must move on. So Megan Thee Stallion, I'm not sure if everyone's across this. I feel like most people are. But she was basically in court at the end of last year with Tory Lanez, who she accused of shooting her in the foot in 2020 in this incident. When they were like in a car driving home from a party. I didn't realize it was Kylie Jenner's party.
Same. Chris did such a great job of keeping that out of the
Yeah. In my head, I've had such a vivid image of this for ages where I thought it was like in the Hollywood Hills, they were driving, she got out of the car because they were fighting, and then Tory Lanez shot her in the foot. And Megan, at the time when the police came, she told them that she like lied to them about being shot because obviously it's the fucking police and it's a car full of black people.
Yeah, it was a car, like, car full of black people, police, and it was June or July 2020, and it was just, like, the absolute heat of that moment after George Floyd's murder and discussions about, like, police brutality and,
you know. Also, like, all that aside, even though that is obviously such a valid reason to not say what happened, all that aside, it's like if you're someone who is your friend up until that point, you get in a huge fight and then they shoot you. If you shot me in the foot, I wouldn't want to tell the police straight away because I wouldn't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Because you're still processing.
I'll keep that in mind.
And then anyway, 3 days later, Megan came out, said what had happened. And then from then on, it was just this really, really horrible kind of culture of like everyone thinking she was lying, people wondering why she didn't say it in the first place. Tory Lanez coming out saying she was lying. Drake at one point released these fucking feral lyrics saying she's lying. And it was just really terrible. And then so she initially wasn't going to take it to court. And then she thought, fuck this, and took it to court. And the entire court case, she was like put on the stand, put through it. Like, again, people basically disbelieving her, people having his back. And she said at the time, she was just like, this is the most fucked thing in the world because I was shot. And now this guy who no one knew, like Tory Lanez's name, I'd never heard of before any of this. This like random Canadian rapper is like just associated with one of the biggest rappers in the world and suddenly is getting famous off this. He was releasing songs about it and denying it. And the whole response was just so fucked and so misogynistic and just terrible. And then, yeah, eventually he was found guilty, obviously, and she was vindicated. And she just hasn't publicly spoken about it at all until now.
Yeah, I think that there is so many like interesting parallels with that case and the Amber Heard Johnny Depp case, because I think with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp, you felt like, well, this is just such a powerful man and everyone's going to side with like a powerful, famous man who everyone loves. And then you look at Megan Thee Stallion and this fucking guy, and he's not famous and no one loves him and he's like not influential and there's no emotional attachment and they're still believing him over her. It's so crazy. So it's like, you don't even have to be a powerful, charismatic man to be believed over women. You just have to be a man, and she's one of the most powerful women in the world. Like, it's disgusting.
Yeah. So in this owl piece, she says that it never crossed her mind that people wouldn't believe her, and that she fell into this deep depression, didn't feel like making music, and was just in this incredibly low place. And it's just so shit. But I love the way she called, like when Drake released those lyrics about her. What did he even say? He said something like, that B word lie about being shot, but she's still a stallion.
I feel like Drake, he's like the JK Rowling of rappers.
Yeah.
Like he virtue signals so hard that he's a feminist and a soft boy and like the Nice for What video. Do you remember it was all like Tracee Ellis Ross and Olivia Wilde, and it was just meant to be showing that he's this like wonderful man that loves women. And him putting that lyric in his song was kind of the first time I'd seen in headlines that people were doubting her and questioning her, and like him doing that just legitimized so hard these like little fuckboy guys who on Twitter started going after her. Like, he just sent out the bat signal basically to say it's okay to question her publicly, and it's just like so fucked that he did that and basically got away with it.
It's like just so damaging and crazy for any women who are accusing someone of violence. And it's crazy that that's still happening today when it was so obvious as well. You know, like she literally had a bullet in her foot and people aren't believing her. It's like, what about women who say, that they were beaten up at home or anything like that? So she said this is the first and only time she's going to speak about it, other than in the court case. And yeah, she just said that time and time women are bullied with backlash for speaking out against their attackers and are accused of lying or attempting to make money from their trauma. From first-hand experience, I know why a lot of women don't come forward. Any support and empathy I received was drowned out by overwhelming doubt and criticism from so many others. And she said she's been in this really dark place and had depression and anxiety and is just trying to come out the other side and is in this ongoing process of healing. So love her so much. She's the fucking best for taking that guy to court. I hope that's the last we hear of Tory Lanez. Also, people in the court were pushing this narrative of whether they were sleeping together as if that has anything to do with anything. Just trying to make it this...
Trying to say she was fighting with her best friend that was in the car because he'd slept with both of them. And that was like the defense. I was like, that has nothing to do with the case, firstly. And secondly, that friend... I can't even believe it went to trial. That friend who they were talking about fighting with literally sent a text 10 minutes afterwards saying, Tony shot Meg. It's fucked. Yeah. Or something. Yeah. Like, it's just like the fact that he was trying to deny it is just so insane. There's like so much going on with that. I think it's like obviously, you know, misogynoir, like the intersection of misogyny and like racism, I think there's that strong black woman stereotype that we very often, like we very rarely see in depictions in pop culture, black women getting to be soft and vulnerable. You know, there's always this idea that they're superhumanly strong. And I think that connects to the stuff we've talked about with like Serena Williams and mortality rates in black women in hospital where their pain isn't believed. And there's just so many cross, you know, intersecting things going on here. And then I think like the respectability politics thing of how she talks and expresses her pain is like different to what, I don't know, we traditionally associate with this kind of thing. So because, you know, when Drake pisses her off, she tweets like, "Suck my pussy, Drake," which is the best thing ever. You know what I mean? It's yeah. Like, that's when the shit gets, it happens with Cardi B as well. Like people just don't take rappers as seriously in general. And then you add the gender question on top of it. And it's just a recipe for fucked cultural mess.
Yeah. It's just such a good example of all of those horrible things intersecting, and a good reminder to have women's backs, especially black women. And Megan Thee Stallion is fucking fire, and I can't believe she continued to release such insane bangers during that time. I saw her live during that time. That's why it felt really like poignant seeing her live. We were talking about it as she was on stage, and I was just like, I can't believe what she's going through. And how fucking.
And she's young, man. Like, she's like 27 or something now. All this stuff happened when she was very much in her early to mid 20s. Her fucking, like, mum died unexpectedly. Like, she's gone through so much shit. So I'm glad that it seems at least finally people are kind of recognizing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Should we move on to Coachella bits and pieces?
All things Coachella. So how was it? Give me the overall, then we'll go into the specific.
It was so fun and so kind of the opposite of what you'd have in your head about Coachella, if that makes any sense at all. So basically, I think it was just the way we did it, and it's being old, I think, two things. Mm-hmm. So at Coachella, I don't know if this is a thing at other festivals, but you can literally drive your car into the festival, park it, and then just walk in and then just drive home afterwards. And on the last night, it took us 5 minutes to walk from watching Frank Ocean at the front of the stage to our car and get in our car. And then it was like 10
That's
minutes.
Amazing.
And then it was like 10 minutes in traffic to get out. And then we were just done. And so if you're not drinking, which obviously I know that like most people would be or whatever, it's so easy to get in and out of the festival. Everything is just so slick that it's like you don't even wait for drinks for long at all. There's great food vendors. The stages. Coachella itself is really small compared to like Glastonbury, Primavera, any of those other bigger festivals I've been to. So you can walk from one main stage to another main stage in like 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just all felt really chill, really easy. It wasn't even cold at night. People talk about how it's like super cold at night, so you don't even need like a jumper or anything. And it was just, it was, yeah, so easy. And I mean, we were really lucky because we got free tickets, and we thought they were VIP tickets. So, but they don't have, they don't say what they are. We just had a pizza on it. And so we had this pizza on it and we knew they were VIP. So we went into like the VIP section, and then, you know, the bit at like the front of the stage at Coachella, especially where all the celebrities are. And it's like this other cordoned off bit. We were standing in VIP and I was looking at that bit and I was just like, oh, I wish we could go in there. And then my boyfriend was like, try the wristband, like go and try it. And I was like, no, I don't want to be turned away. That's so embarrassing because it lights up green or red like massively when you put your finger down. And then I was like, oh, I don't want to. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go and try. And so I walked around and I was like to the guy, this probably won't work, but I'm just going to try it. And I put it down and it went green. And I was like, woo! And that walked in. So we fully had artists, which doesn't take away from any of the other stuff, because all the other stuff is just for like, I guess getting drinks is obviously easier in VIP, but it felt like half the festival had paid for VIP tickets. And then you... yeah, so we had all these artist passes, which got us to the front of the stage. So I got to see everyone from so close, which was fucking crazy.
That is amazing. I actually did read on, I can't even remember where, somewhere someone wrapping up the event, they said it's like Coachella is a surprisingly well-oiled machine, like with what you were saying in terms of drinks lines and getting in and out. They basically said that the only nightmare of the whole weekend was... there was like a bottleneck getting out of Frank Ocean if you were trying to get the shuttles, I think. That took like 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that was what we did when we went. So I did Coachella as like a mid-20s, absolutely lit person with like 20 people. And that was, yeah, we were getting the shuttles back to the hotels and you have to wait in line for the shuttle buses, which kind of makes sense anyway. Or if you're getting an Uber, I'm sure you kind of have to wait in line like at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with Frank Ocean, we left a couple of songs before he finished because we didn't want to wait for forever. That's kind of what you have to sacrifice. Like even with Beyonce, we left 2 songs before she finished.
Mm-hmm. Worth it, I think. I feel like all concerts go on 20% too long anyway.
It was really funny though, because when I was experiencing it like that, I barely drank any of the 3 days. Just, I don't even know why, just kind of like, you're just walking around, you can't be bothered lining up for drinks, whatever. I took a weed gummy on Friday night, which I should not have done because I was just like a fucking zombie, so tired. We were like walking around in circles and missed Metro Boobing, who brought out literally every single person in the universe. And but it was funny because I was just like, oh, I fully see why celebrities or whoever come to Coachella every year, because it's so chill and easy to do. It's an hour and a half drive from LA. You just pull up, you walk in, you see a couple of music acts, and then you go home. I wasn't hungover or tired or anything on Monday.
That's really nice. It's the difference, I guess, between just like driving up and flying halfway around the world to go.
Yes, exactly.
Who were the highlights? I didn't realize how big. I knew it was a big lineup, but when I really like sat and looked down at everyone who was there, I was like, "Holy shit, this is like 8 massive headliners."
Yeah. It was. So we got in on Friday and we saw Gorillaz, and they brought out De La Soul and did that song, and that was really cool. And then Rosalía was literally insane, like. crazy. It was like the coolest thing I've seen live in so long, and I loved her already. I listened to her music already and I thought she was stylish, thought she was cool, was like had a little bit of a girl crush on her, follow what her and her fiance are up to, etc. But when she was on stage, I was like, I am in love with you, like that feeling of just like, holy fuck, this is crazy. She's like the most insane performer. If you can see her live, definitely do it. Okay. And the way what she did was, it was so sick because the visuals were like her on stage and then she had a cameraman on stage with her and filming her. And so she was looking into the camera the whole time really close up. So it just looked like this live music video. It was like this full moving round the stage, never cutting music video of her doing the performance on stage. It was insane. And then at one point she got this handheld camera and was filming herself as she was singing. The visuals were just crazy. Her dancing is crazy. Her stage presence is crazy. Her songs are crazy.
Amazing. Yeah, she's so charismatic.
Jay Paul was really cool too. He'd never done a live show ever.
Zach loves him.
Yeah, that was really cool to see. I mean, he looked super nervous, but it was really cool to see. And then I miss Charlie XCX.
How?
I threw a literal tantrum. I was like, okay, please, can we put this into perspective? Like, I was like, okay, not speaking, silent, like so angry in the car. And he was like, okay, let's put this into perspective. We're missing Charlie XCX, who you saw live already at Primavera, like less than a year ago. And we are missing her because we're driving from a Marc Jacobs party to the Revolve party to a festival that we're not paying to go to. And I was like,
I'm still furious. Is that so? It was just timing wise, just didn't work out.
She was on early. She was on at like 5:30. And the whole thing during the day is the pre-parties. And she was on Saturday. And we had this Marc Jacobs pre-party that we went to. And then the Revolve party, which like at the time when we were in the car, I was just like, should we just sack this off and go to Charlie? But then I just didn't want to be, I was just like, I don't know. I've seen her before, just whatever, just sacrifice it, because I've never been to the Revolve party. It's a new experience. We also were going with Zach, our friend who was DJing at it. So we like wanted to support him, but I was like, just having a bit of a meltdown. But Revolve was cool to see. It was quite crazy.
It's a like little festival within the festival kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's off-site, but it's a festival. So they have a huge stage. They have all these, they can't announce who the performers are, but that day it was Pink Pantheress, like Ice Spice.
Oh my God.
And then the next day it was 21 Savage, like quite crazy people. And they have like festival rides, and it's basically influencer heaven. So I thought my boyfriend was going to hate it. I was like, you're literally going to hate it here. We should just ditch and just go to the festival. And then we got there and he was like, this is so fun, because it was insane. It was crazy. It was like the people watching was just next level. It was just girls posing for photos all around us wearing the most insane stuff. And that's where the Erewhon pop-up was. And you could take anything for free.
That's amazing. That is like hitting 30. My dream is just to get expensive supermarket goods for free.
The cashew nut milk, the Elmhurst cashew nut milk that I buy is $8 a pop. And I took so many, but I was too embarrassed to take any on Saturday because there was so many people around, like just celebrities fucking everywhere. And so I was like, I'm not taking any cashew nut milk. I'm not going to that Erewhon pop-up. And then on Sunday we went back and we went early and we took like 7 totes.
Yeah, just loaded up. That's the great thing about having a car. You don't have to carry it around all day.
Yeah. I was like, I made us do a car run, and like, and the girl at Erewhon was just like, she was like, we're at this point now where it's socially acceptable to fill as many bags as you want. And I was like, okay, perfect. And just filled all these bags full of shit and then took it all to the boot of the car.
That is, yeah, that's the best. Was there any good, I haven't really seen celebrity style and such. Was there a good, were people dressed well? Was there best dressed?
I haven't looked online, but everyone, the kind of the Haleys and your Kendalls and stuff were really dressed really low key, which I feel like they often do for festival style to just juxtapose that like crazy Coachella style. And that was kind of what I did mostly as well. I just wore like jeans and a tank top on Friday and then these little capris and like a different tank top on Saturday.
I love a capri.
Yeah. And then this pretty ISPA dress for Sunday, because Sunday felt a bit more like chill.
There's still a lot of crop tops, which I just can't.
Yeah. I don't know. I, like, Hayley wore crop top and jeans. We saw her, Justin and Jaden at the, we were walking from J Paul backstage, like through the little alleyway bit, and they were walking. It was literally us and them just walking past each other like this. And Hayley gave me a sour look and I was like, you're a fucking bitch. I was like, oh. And then Justin just looked confused.
Do you think she has resting bitch face?
I think she's just scared that someone's, I think she's just on edge that someone's going to
yell Jelena at her.
Yeah, I think she's just on edge. She like kind of just glanced at me like, don't you dare do or say Didn't anything. Live. Either like she thinks someone's going to ask Justin for a photo or she thinks someone hates her.
Yeah, that would be a kind of, the older I get, the more I just realize what a nightmare being famous would be.
Yeah. John Hamm was like bopping away to Bad Bunny.
Yeah, why was John, I mean, John Hamm can do as he pleases. He can go wherever he wants. But was he there in like a sceney way or he was just like.
I just saw him at Bad Bunny in the crowd just kind of like dancing. Bad Bunny was fucking crazy cool too.
Yeah, he's very charismatic as well, isn't he?
Very sexy man.
Okay, let's talk about Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Frankie. I forgot about Frank.
We can talk about more celebrity stuff in the celebrity sightings on the Patreon.
yes.
Just because there's stuff that I probably shouldn't say out loud. but, yeah, Frank's it. So he came out an hour late.
Is that unusual for Coachella? Like, are they pretty tight?
Very unusual. But I think what was kind of the most alarming was we were really close. So we arrived at Frank an hour before he was supposed to start. So we waited for 2 hours.
And was it mayhem? Like, was it like
every single person, other people you saw,
was it like that was the craziest one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But again, we were like at that front bit. So you couldn't really see behind us, but that bit was mayhem too. Cause my boyfriend was like, it's fine. Like we can just go late because for everyone else, we've been able to get a really good view from that bit. And I was like, no, seriously, we need to go really early because even the fucking celebs are going to be lining up for this. And so we got early. And then, but what we could see from the stage, which people behind wouldn't have been able to see, and I was thinking about how confusing the whole thing would have been for them, is that the visuals were off completely. So, but on the stage, there was like 40 men working really fast, like past the time he was supposed to go on. And I was just looking at the stage being like, this looks really bad. Like nothing was set up. It looked like chaos. But anyone behind would have been like, what the fuck is happening? Because they were told nothing. And yeah, at one point we were literally like, I don't know if this is even going to happen because he pulled they were supposed to live stream it. And then it got announced like right before he started that they were pulling the live stream. And so we were just like, God, what if he doesn't come out? Because he's like known for canceling shit. He hasn't performed live since 2016. If this isn't perfectly right, he won't want to do it. So it was kind of just like, the fuck is going on? And then he came out and then...
Wait, what do people think? Like, what happened? What was explained afterwards?
Nothing was explained officially, but what people are saying, like people with sources or whatever, are saying basically when he came out, before he came out, there was like 20 people walking around in circles on the stage wearing like a uniform, and it was so confusing. And at this point, like the entire crowd is just like, we just felt like we were being trolled. I was like, are we literally just going to watch these men walk around in circles? And then on Twitter, someone said that those people were actually professional ice skaters who had been practicing for weeks because Frank's set was supposed to be an ice rink. He decided at the last minute to change the set, like on the day. And someone else said it was because he hurt his ankle. I don't know. There's all these rumors. And then so Coachella was
like tortured artist. He just like plays to type so hard.
So Coachella was apparently melting the ice and then reconstructing a new stage that he decided on that day. So it was mayhem. And I mean, we were watching them. I was like, how the fuck is this not ready? So that kind of checks
out. Netflix documentary on this now. I'm desperate to know how many people behind the scenes who would have like meticulously been planning this. Because he was announced as the headliner the COVID year, right? Mm-hmm. And so this has been like pushed back and back and back and back. Mm-hmm. So like the amount of manpower, whenever this shit happens, I'm like, think of the interns, like just think of the junior people that have been involved in a bazillion meetings, a bazillion like organizational logistical things. So this whole thing goes off without a hitch. And then on the day he's like, melt the ice rink.
Yes.
All just like getting out with hammers and shit because people on the stage.
And it does check out because the men walking in circles on the stage, like the whole thing
that
felt
is fucking
really
hilarious. They were meant to be really ice skaters, so they were like, if they're here, they may as well just walk around in circles if they can't skate.
Yeah, it felt so confused. And then he came out and basically, which I also think is just quite, I mean, I have different opinions about the whole thing in terms of like what Frank Ocean owes us and what he doesn't. But I do think that so many people bought tickets for Coachella specifically to see him. So many super fans. He never performs live. Like there was this kind of feeling that he was going to debut new music. He was going to announce a new album. It was this huge moment. And then one thing that I think is quite shit is he basically put down these speakers sort of in front of the stage. And then he sat behind them. So I couldn't see him. And I was maybe like, there was maybe six rows of people in front of me to the stage. And I couldn't see mm-hmm. Frank Ocean at all. And I was just like, that's mm-hmm. fine for someone like me and or us who whatever are lucky enough to have like gotten into this close up bit pretty easily. But for the people, for the diehard fans who have been lining up for hours just to be front row, just to see that guy, and they can't even see him, it's like you may as well be at the back. Yep. That just felt a bit shit. And then he came out and he seemed grumpy. Like the way the screens ended up being was kind of similar to Rosalia's thing, where it was filming as if it was like a BTS documentary or something. So it would film the behind the scenes technical shit, but then it would also show him starting songs and then stopping a song and like basically kind of yelling at someone on the big screen. But then when he spoke to the crowd,
amazing.
it was so
it's like literally a piece of performance art.
It
like,
was so confusing. And yeah, then he spoke to the crowd and he seemed fine, but he seemed also, he talked about how his brother died aged 18 in a car accident in 2020, which I didn't know about. And he said that him and his brother used to always go to Coachella together, and it felt like he was performing for him. And it felt really kind of, it felt as though two things were going on. One, he's grieving and he's dedicating that performance to his brother. And two, he's evolved so much as an artist and is kind of came out to perform in this way to show what he's been listening to, what he's been into, and be really authentic about it, which I loved. So at one point he stopped singing any songs. He'd done like three or four. And Novocaine was the first one, which is like his first ever song, I think. And then one I'd never heard of, and then one off Blonded, and then another one I'd never heard of. And then he went off stage and got a DJ to start DJing loudly, like crazy dance music, like really, really good set. Her name's Crystal Mess and she's a Mars friend. And he was like, what? Because she came on it was literally like Frank Ocean disappeared.
Like, what's gonna happen next?
Frank Ocean disappeared and then she was on the screens DJing and he was like, that's my friend, like my very good friend. And then he was texting her after and she was like, I didn't know I was being filmed. So she didn't know she was being filmed to Coachella. Like, so crazy. And then Frank comes back and he's like dancing around and they have like the security guard twerking. And at one point, like, I was like, this is fun, this is cool. But at the same time, we've waited like hours to watch Frank Ocean perform. And it's getting later by the minute, you know, his set is short and we're watching 10 minutes of like a DJ set. And then he came out and he goes, this is chaotic, but I love it. And I was like,
What? I think like, to psychoanalyze it, I actually have been meaning to like talk to you about this because I find it so interesting. I've been thinking about it lately, like how musicians, like when I saw Red Hot Chili Peppers in Australia, just like they're replaying these songs that they literally wrote like 35 years ago
over
and over again every night for years, and they're meant to show the same energy. And it's like how we're embarrassed by shit we wrote a couple of, like, they probably don't even like the music that they are most famous for, but your whole, like, livelihood or such a huge part of your job is like going out and having to enthusiastically look like you still love it. And I think that would be really, really hard. And I think that it's a pretty obvious answer, which is like, if he really doesn't want to do that, he should just never tour. And that can just be his thing. Like, you're better off not doing it than doing it and making it look like you hate every minute of it.
Yeah. I think that I really respect artists. I mean, I respect artists who do both because, yeah, you're catering to what your fans want, which is nice, even though it's kind of probably quite soul destroying. But I also love artists like Bjork, who's just like, I'm not doing that. Like, mm-hmm. Bjork just plays her new shit every time. She won't play old songs. She reinvents herself every single time. And she's like, that's it. If you want to come, you're seeing this. And mm-hmm. I think that's also really great because it's like, obviously you're going to evolve, but it must just be so hard because it's like, you know that on the one end, this is a surefire hit. Like, even when you're making new music and evolving and changing as an artist is a risk, and people, you're going to alienate some fans who don't want that, but at the same time you're an artist and you want to explore your creativity. And I loved that he was speaking about what he's been doing over the past few years, how much he's gotten into like this club music, that's why he got her to DJ. It was really cool seeing an insight into his mind. And when he was singing, I was like I can't believe I'm seeing Frank Ocean singing. It was beautiful and he sounded incredible. So I don't know. I think him being late and, you know, just a few like, you know, the short end set and just the, like, a few things just were kind of disappointing. But overall, I liked it.
Yeah, it also adds to the mythology, I think, which I don't think he's doing that in like a cynical way. But when all this stuff was coming out and I was reading about it, I was like, it just feels very him in this like authentic kind of way. And it's like iconic in its own way in the sense of how all over the show it was. Like, it's nicer almost that is what the set was than him coming out doing this like perfectly manicured greatest hits, everything to, you know, like that would somehow feel like less.
Yeah.
Of an amazing comeback performance or something. I wonder what was going through his head. I wonder if he just had like a bit of a meltdown on that morning and was just like, I don't want to do this. Or if he was just like.
No, I fully think that. I think that guy was at one point not considering coming out onto that stage. Yeah. But he felt, when he was speaking and performing and stuff, he didn't feel grumpy to us. But then you would see bits where he would start and stop songs and literally be like yelling at tech people or like speaking sternly at tech people. And you're like, are we supposed to be seeing this on a big screen? It was so confusing because I think the whole thing was just not rehearsed at all. And I was like, I feel so bad. The people standing behind us are his drummer, Eric's friends from Chicago. And so they had flown in to see Eric perform with Frank Ocean. And he, like, their friend was on the main stage, on the main screen. I was like, this is so crazy. But I felt so bad for him because you would just be like, how do I get through this? This is chaos.
What does Eric know? We need to get him on the pod.
But he was like pulling bunny ears and shit on stage at one point. Like, he was, being really silly and cute.
What was the best songs?
I love Novocaine. I mean, it takes me back, to being at uni in Wellington. And, like, the first time I'd obviously ever heard of Frank Ocean was, like, Novocaine and Swim Good. And that was incredible. He didn't really play anything else. He didn't really play anything at all off Channel Orange.
Right.
He played White Noise, which was great. Yeah. He also played a bunch of covers. I don't know. I was like, for someone who has an hour-long set that had to be cut short, so he played till 12:20 and then they told him he had to get off stage.
Is that just like a legal Coachella
thing? Yeah, it's like
thing?
A legal thing. He was supposed to finish at midnight, but he continued playing till 12:20 because he was so late. And so I'm just like, for someone who's going to put a DJ on for 10 minutes and then do like an Aretha Franklin cover and like an Isley Brothers cover, like just, I'm just like, this is mental.
Wow.
So we were waiting for Frank and we'd kind of moved into this bit where you couldn't walk forward anymore. And then these people behind me, like, were kind of coming through the crowd. And then I turned and I thought he was going to walk past me. And then he must have just realized that it was like a good spot to stop. And it was just Timothy Chalamet. And I was like, he was so close because he was literally here. He was behind me and my boyfriend was beside me. So I couldn't even say that's Timothy Chalamet because he would hear. So then I just was like, and then just turned to the front of the stage. And then I like mouthed it to my boyfriend. My boyfriend was like, I don't even know who that is. And I was like, ugh. And I was like, I'm so annoyed that I'm beside like him and not anyone else at this time. Because it was just so funny. No, he just has no context of that being especially just kind of funny at the moment because of all the Kylie Jenner shit in the press.
Do you think that's true? You have a good radar for this stuff. Like, it's too random that it has to be true.
I just think it is, but I don't get it. So, yeah, because I thought I was just like, surely this is... Sometimes I'm so cynical about it that I'm like, I feel like Christian as people contact his people and are like, we'll give you $1 million to just not deny this story. You don't have to do anything else. And we'll just feed it out.
A great theory.
And we'll just like feed it out to the world. You just don't deny it. And that's all you have to do. But then now they've been fully spotted together and shit. Well, not together, but her car's been spotted outside his house, which again could be a plant.
A plant by Chris that gets towed over in the morning. Yeah. I think the thing about people like Timothy Chalamet is like a little Leo DiCaprio that we all think is not a little Leo. You know what I mean? Like he's very much like the modern era's Leo. Mm. And we like to think he's like kind of like Harry Styles, alternative and a soy boy and like interesting and artistic. And it's like he just wants to buss a hottie, you know?
Yes.
He's just at his core, just like a horny man. So in that sense, it tracks.
It's really funny how we think because he was like in an indie film. That he's evolved. That was what was exactly. Quite funny about it. I was like acting like that afterwards because he was so close. He was with four of his guy mates, but he was here for an hour before Frank Ocean started playing. So I could hear everything they were talking about, their whole conversation. Mm-hmm. Like at one point we were kind of like all conversing together because Frank Ocean was so late. So everyone in the crowd was kind of just talking amongst themselves. So I was like talking to him about like nothing, but just about whatever, whether Frank Ocean would come on and stuff. And he was just saying like the most basic, it's like when Harry Styles is like a movie is a movie. He was saying the most basic, he was just like, I ate too much pizza. Like, and then at one point he was telling some fan story and was like chanting his own last name. My boyfriend was like, that guy is such a fucking loser. And I was like, oh, Jare me.
Yeah, a little Jare King. Does he look handsome? Like, if you could divorce the cultural context and like the sexy red carpet outfits, do you think if you just saw him, he would like turn your head, or do you think it's all about the mystique?
I think he's a handsome guy. He's just so little looking.
Is he?
Not short. Just like he's such a small face.
Yeah.
And he was just chain such smoking. A small face. I was trying to see when he was texting. I was trying to like look to see if he was texting Kylie, but I couldn't see. But yeah, that was funny. It was also just so funny because I was like, of course, Timothy Chalamet is like biting his lip listening to Frank Ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. This is such a like fever dream. I feel like I was there.
When Frank Ocean was on, we were rubbing shoulders with his like Celine bomber jacket and he was filming and I was filming and then I like looked at his face and he was biting his lip. And I was like, this is so jokes.
That's kind of hot.
Yeah. But everyone in the crowd was pretty chill about it. Like everyone kind of clocked him but no one annoyed him.
Bothered
at him. That spot. I saw on TikTok heaps of people filming him in other locations, but we all kept our cool. I mean, apart from one girl in front who, like, pretended she was filming her and her friend and then started filming him, and then both me and him, because both me and him were in the background of her fucking video. And so and then he clocked it and, like, put his mask back up. But he kept taking it off because he was smoking so much.
We need to make it, like, really culturally in weird to film other people. Like, yeah. I really hate that culture. I think it's like invasive and also just like lame and
exactly
bad and rude and awful.
Yeah.
Wowza. Anything else to report? Did you see Blackpink?
Yes, they were great. They were crazy. They're amazing. It was just such an insane production. Their performances, I can't believe it. Like their dancing, the choreography, it felt like watching the X Factor, but in the most crazy of ways. Like, it was just like, they're just an old school pop. They're like a pop group. It was fucking crazy.
They've kind of taken that, like, the model of, like, Hollywood music in the 90s and, like, recreated that in Korea. Like, it's that really, like, that you just don't get anymore in the West. Like, pop sensations, like, the fucking music videos and stuff, I think it's so cool.
They're so cool though as well, because they all come out and do solo performances as well, because they all have their own solo songs. And I'm obsessed with Lisa's song Money and how she
Lisa's kind of the coolest one, right?
I don't know, everyone's obsessed with different ones. So like Rosé, I thought her name was Rose, but she pronounced it Rosé on the thing. Everyone's obsessed with her. Everyone's obsessed with Jianne. But I don't ever hear about the other one. I don't even know her name. The fourth one?
Yeah, Lisa Rosé is Jenny, right?
Yeah, Jenny, sorry. I was calling it Jianne. I think it's spelled funny. Jenny and someone else.
Who's the last one? I think she was at Yeezu.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was the last to go solo. So at Fashion Week, and she was causing like a stampede.
I feel like we should go over to Patreon. We could continue talking about silly outfits for a bit. I also have a Leo story.
What a teaser.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.